A ray of light from Imam Hassan's grandeur. There was such majesty and dignity about Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, that few people dared to look him in the eye. His authority and grandeur frightened and humbled everybody. Whenever the chivalrous Imam sat at his door to solve somebody's problem, His Majesty attracted the passers-by so intensely that the traffic came to a standstill. Whoever saw the Imam automatically stood up for his visitation, leading to a traffic jam. On such occasions, His Excellency re-entered the home. Some day, one of the dignitaries said, O Son of the Apostle of Allah, your grandeur infatuates all those who look at you. The Imam replied, The more a believer obeys God and observes his prohibitions, the more will he inherit the authority and grandeur. The Provider of Daily Meals. Imam Hassan, the Divine Chosen, peace be upon him, repeatedly recommended the poor to his followers. He fed and respected them and always insisted to play host to them. Some day, when crossing the garden in a suburb, he encountered a number of poor people eating their meal. One of them stood up and said, O Son of the Apostle of Allah, sit a short while with us and help yourself with our food. The Imam, with utmost cheerfulness, accepted the invitation and sat beside them in such a modest way that a passerby, not knowing the Imam, would not be able to tell which one the Imam was. A person who knew the Imam came by and said, How could you, the leader of the Muslims, with so much glory and grandeur, become a companion of the poor? Frowned at the passerby for his rude statement, the Imam, peace be upon him, said, O man, be aware that God does not like the arrogant. We all are equal before him. Although I am the leader, we all are his servants. Upon finishing his meal, the Imam said to the poor, O my friends, I was your guest till now. However, you will be my guest this evening. Invite any one of your friends to this dinner party. The Imam was accustomed to return any favor to the best of his ability. During that dinner party, the Imam bestowed many gifts upon his guests, including new and clean clothes. The Imam and his interpretation of the Holy Prophet's remark. On one of his trips, the Imam, wearing an elegant robe and riding on a mule and accompanied by a number of servants and his companions, proceeded to his destination. His face was scintillating as brightly as the sun. He was as handsome as the moon. During the trip, a number of wealthy Jews approached the Imam and said, O the Messenger and Apostle of God, we have a question and would like you to permit us to raise it. What is your question? Has your grandfather, the Apostle of God, not said that this world is the prison of the believers and the paradise of the infidels? The Imam replied, Yes, My grandfather, the messenger of God, has made this rightful statement. The Jew asked, "How is it then that we see you in this attire and with so much glory and grandeur? Apparently this world is your paradise too, despite the fact that you are a believer and we are infidels." The Imam said, "Your interpretation of the statement is incorrect." The Jew said, "Should this be the case, tell us about the correct interpretation of the statement." The Imam said, "You will be amazed if you know about the facilities God has provided His believers with in the hereafter. You will also be astonished at the blessings that God has created for them. Nobody has ever seen and heard of what has been created for us in this world and the hereafter. We are suffering and are imprisoned in this world prior to going to the next to enjoy the blessings. And if you know what punishments await the infidels in the hereafter, you will acknowledge that this world, notwithstanding all its hardships, is a paradise for them. You do and say whatever you wish. And when you're punished in the hereafter with infernal flames, you will admit that this world has been your paradise." Fulfills our needs. Muawiyah was obliged to pay the Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, an annuity of 100,000 drachmas from the public treasury so that the Imam could divide it among the lords of the Quraysh. In a bid to create difficulties for the Imam, Muawiyah failed to pay the annuity. The Hashemites, who had faced poverty, went to the Imam's house and said, "O son of the Apostle of God, we have been living in poverty over the past 12 months or so, and Muawiyah refuses to provide us with our sustenance. Please write to him a letter asking him why he has not fulfilled his obligation. We are in insufferable condition." The Imam said, "Bring me an inkstand, so that I can write to him whatever you wish." An inkstand was brought to the Imam. Before putting anything to paper, the Imam took a short nap and said after a few minutes, "I no longer feel the need to write to him." The Hashemites asked, "You yourself ordered us to bring the inkstand." The Imam replied, "I saw the Messenger of Allah in my dream. My dear Hassan," he told me, "how are you?" "Not too bad," I replied, "but Muawiyah delays the payment of what is due to the Hashemites, and that worries me." The Prophet said he would teach me a prayer so that I could make my request before God, who rules over our hearts. The prayer is as follows: "O God, fill my heart with hope, and do not let others be hopeful about your favors, so that I would not count on them. I do not succeed to attain what I wish, and I'm unable to materialize my desires. Owing to my true faith in you, I would not say a word about the blessings you endowed people with. You, the Creator, therefore, grant me what I wish." I was first an enemy, but later became a friend. Imam Hassan, the Divine One, mounted on horseback, traveling over the narrow streets of Kufa. All of a sudden, a man with a primitive, disheveled appearance, starts shouting at the Imam, "O you who do not know God, you non-Muslim, you are leading a comfortable life without being thoughtful of such poor people like me. How can you call yourself the Son of God's messenger? I wish not to set my eyes on you anymore." The Imam all the while was listening to the man's insults. Then he dismounts and approaches the man, and while putting his hand on the man's shoulder says, "O man, apparently you're a stranger and a newcomer. If you need anything, just let me know. If you're hungry, let me know so that I can satisfy your hunger. If you need clothes, I will provide you with something to wear. You seem to have walked a long way and look really exhausted. You need to rest. Let's go to my place." The Imam and the man, hand in hand, head for the Imam's house, and at his door the Imam says, "Wait a few moments. I'll be back right now." The man, who is completely shocked by the Imam's conduct, stops in astonishment. The Imam returns in no time at all, carrying lots of presents. "You will find some money in this bag. Take it with yourself and buy yourself some food," the Imam says. "Here's a suit for you. I'll give you this horse to take you to your hometown." The man, confounded by the Imam's gifts, takes everything and is left speechless. After a while he says, "I swear by God, I hated you in the past. However, now I like you more than anybody else on earth." The man approached the Imam, embraced the Imam, and kissed his brilliant countenance. He then mounts the horse and leaves the Imam, and the Imam returns to his house.